Hello, friends and family, and thank you for tuning into the Duncan Trussell Family Hour. It is a beautiful Tuesday morning. I'm not going to spend a million years on this opening monologue because this podcast is incredible on its own. I just want to do a quick shout out to all the blind children who have become lost in the forests of life and have confused the brambles, thorns, and weeds with the path. You don't have to be out there among the wolves and among the poison ivy and the hawks and the owls that you have decided are your friends, when in fact they're just predatory creatures, or more to the point, manifestations of the negative internal aspects of yourself, or even more to the point, external manifestations of the differentiation that you have created within yourself, or the awful binary spectrum that you have placed over your emotional states, which is creating a sense of separation from the universe and making you think that you are happy when you're sad and sad when you're happy. This happens when people get jaundiced. They think sweet things are sour and sour things are sweet. And unfortunately, there is a spiritual affliction that happens when people actually begin to think that they're doing their life's work if they feel miserable, and that when they start feeling great, they've gotten off on the wrong foot. So, blind children whose eyes have been sewn shut by the cruel demons of karma, I invite you back onto the wide path of joy that many of us are walking upon, drinking wine, eating oysters, and fucking each other, because it's pretty fun here. Why not give it a shot? The Duncan Trussell Family Hour is sponsored by Sure Design T-shirts and Audible.com. I want to start off by telling you about the Audible deal, because it's pretty awesome. If you go to audibletrial.com/family hour, you get a free Audible download. You get a free Audible audiobook download. And I cannot recommend Audible enough. I've been using them for years because I love them. I've listened to their audiobooks forever. I've listened to their audiobooks while taking long family trips and smelling the farts of my family. And they've distracted me from that. It's kept me on treadmills for the longest time that I've ever been on treadmills before. And the books that I've listened to and am listening to for the second, probably third time now, is the Dark Tower series by Stephen King. Starts with a gunslinger. There's 7 books in it. It's the most incredible, it's my favorite series ever, but it's also an incredible audiobook because the guy that they have reading it, it sounds like they went into a canyon and found an actual cowboy, tied him up, and made him read these books. He's an incredible voice actor. I can't recommend it enough. And if you go to audibletrial.com/family hour, you get a free Audible download for signing up for a trial membership for 30 days. What does that mean? It means that you could just cancel it and you still have this awesome audiobook to listen to when you're running on the treadmill, walking the dogs, making love to your wife or mistress, whatever the thing is that you want to do when you listen to these audiobooks. Nothing beats the Dark Tower series, and then finally you will understand what my North Central positronic references I make from time to time. Actually, I don't think I ever did that. Anyway, if I ever make a North Central positronic reference, talk about the Crimson King, talk about the Path of the Beam, talk about Shardik or the Portal Guardians, you'll know what I'm talking about. Go to audibletrial.com/family hour and sign up. And plus, it's just like donating $15 to this podcast, because they give me $15 every time somebody signs up, which is pretty f-ing cool. So go do it. And finally, for those of you who have been waking up in the middle of the night screaming, how can I contribute to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast? It's easy. There's a lot of ways you can do this. You can go to DuncanTrussell.com and sign up for the forum, and you can contribute by saying hello to all the people who regularly post there. Or, if you want to get deeper and go really crazy, you can click on the donate button and send some green energy our way. Or if you don't just feel like randomly spraying money into a nest of subversive, psychedelic weirdos that the Duncan Trussell Family Hour Forum has become, then you can go to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour shop and order a t-shirt or a poster. We have three different t-shirt styles. They're all badass. And for those of you who already pre-ordered the shirts, they're going to start shipping soon. I just saw the first pictures of them. They're incredible. I can't wait to get one on my soft pink upper body. I'm really excited about that. And for all of you who have donated, ordered shirts, ordered posters, God bless you. Thank you for keeping this community going. I love you all very much, and I want to fly to heaven and make love to your grandmothers. And if they're still on earth, I would love to make love with them here. Now, everyone, please send out your psychic tendrils to embrace these sweet, vibrating, atomic, etheric, astral body of my dear friend, the hilarious comedian, television actor, and brilliant audiophile, Johnny William Pemberton. We're rolling.
Scamanchumwanya. Homra.
Zamadai.
Kaspo Yawawa.
Ah, that I see.
Three clicks and.
And we sip. We're drinking. I'm here with Johnny Pemberton, drinking coffee in the Hello. Afternoon with my sweet friend JP.
I'm with my sweet friend Detra, also known as Daytru.
Let's start off.
Detrus.
Let's start off with some important news.
Ja Trussell.
Going to start off. I want to know your opinion on this. I'm going to read this article to you. This okay. is what I call the greatest news that has ever happened to stoners.
Okay.
Because it has created for stoners what is an endless conversation.
Are you a stoner? You're a stoner, right?
I would consider myself. I mean, I wouldn't consider myself a stoner, but 100% of stoners would consider me a stoner.
Do you think I'm a stoner?
I don't know.
I don't think
I am. I don't know your marijuana patterns.
I think all of my friends are, but I'm not a stoner. I think I've tried and wanted to be, but I'm just not.
You've wanted to be?
Yeah, I've wanted to be. It's like a simple thing to be as a stoner, you know?
It's not simple.
Yeah, it is.
It takes discipline.
Okay, well, in that case, then maybe
that's
why.
I don't know how many people I talk to, I can't eat marijuana, I get paranoid. Grow up!
I had some the other day that...
fight your inner demons. Ooh,
I had some the size of a fingernail clipping, and it was like, sent me away.
Sends you where? I'll tell you where it sends you.
Send me to the crazy zone.
Sends you through a black hole.
It wasn't quite a black hole, but I think if I had doubled the dose, it would have been... I would have flipped through the asphalt and gone to the Technicolor underworld.
Yes, the circuit board underneath the flesh of the universe, as Terrence McKenna calls it.
The mycelium.
Yeah, that's another great name
for
it.
I have something to talk to you about.
More mycelium than circuit board, certainly. Mm-hmm. Here we go. This is from National Geographic Daily News. It was on Reddit. I think Rogan has talked about this, but I haven't seen it. All of a sudden, it just started hitting the media. So, I'm going to read this. This is an article published by Kerthon.
Is that person's one-word name, Kerthon?
Two names, Kerthon.
Oh, Kerthon.
Interestingly enough, the name for singing mantras is Kirtan.
Okay.
Here we go. Like a part of a cosmic Russian doll, our universe may be nested inside a black hole that is itself part of larger universes. In turn, all the black holes found so far in our universe, from the microscopic to the supermassive, may be doorways into alternate realities. According to a mind-bending new theory, a black hole is actually a tunnel between universes, a type of wormhole. The matter the black hole attracts doesn't collapse into a single point, as has been predicted, but rather gushes out a white hole at the other end of the black hole, the theory goes. In a recent paper published in the journal Physics Letters B, Indiana University physicist Nikodim Poplawski presents new mathematical models of the spiraling motion of matter falling into a black hole. His equation suggests such wormholes are viable alternatives to the space-time singularities that Albert Einstein predicted to be at the centers of black holes. So,
white hole.
What that means is we are in a black hole right now.
It's very possible.
Our universe. And so the spiraling of the galaxies, the fucking Fibonacci sequence.
The fucking Fibonacci.
The fucking Fibonacci sequence. The
pineapples.
The pineal gland, the flower of life.
Just fucking pineapples.
Pineapples,
pine cones,
rabbits.
Those are Fibonacci number sequences.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, pineapples.
Oh, rabbit mating patterns, Fibonacci number sequences. Can you describe the Fibonacci numbers to my
Think it has to do with, it's a spiral, isn't it? It has to do with the way things, it's sort of like a fractal, right?
It's a fractal. It's a certain,
it's a prime number.
It's a pattern of numbers that predicts the growing width in the spiral of a conch shell.
Any type of spiral at all, right?
Here, let's see what it says. Wikipedia says the Fibonacci sequence is, in mathematics, the Fibonacci numbers or Fibonacci series are the numbers in the following sequence: 0, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, 55, 89, 144. If you say that in front of a mirror three times, a spiral will come out and suck your dick. By definition, the first two numbers in the Fibonacci sequence are 0 and 1. And eat blah, blah, blah. The Fibonacci sequence is named after Leonardo of Pisa, who is known as Fibonacci.
Fibonacci.
But anyway, it's the gold mean.
Right.
It's a ratio that appears in all of
everything.
Nature. It's considered the God's number.
It's the master number, right?
It's the number of life. And so the reason that number keeps appearing everywhere is because it's some sort of result of the energy dispersion that happened when we all got blasted out of the white hole we know as the Big Bang. So when you look back at time...
So is that what that means, that the Big Bang is the white hole?
The Big Bang's a portal.
It was the white hole.
The Big Bang's not a moment of things coming from nothingness, which has always been confounding to people.
It's things coming from someplace, from another... From a different black hole.
It's the tip of the balloon. It's like if you were in a balloon and you were looking out the balloon, you would see what we see is the fucking Big Bang is just some... asshole's mouth on the other end inflating the universe. Yeah,
that doesn't sound very good. Well, I think I agree with that. That was for what the article said. That was incredibly short.
What do you mean?
Like it said, like that just like dropped a very large piece of information.
We're in a fucking black hole.
Yeah. Hey, we're in a black hole.
What else can you say? We're in a black hole. What else?
We've always been in a black hole. And we're never going to leave the black hole.
We're never going to get out of the black hole.
The black hole is good.
The black hole is just a hole.
I'm fine with the black hole.
Holes are neither good nor bad.
There's birds in this black hole. I can hear them tweeting.
There's birds in the black
chirping.
Hole. There's holes in the black hole.
I just said tweeting instead of chirping. I should have said chirping, right?
Why? Because tweet's been stolen by the fucking nerds.
More than the nerds. It's been stolen by BMW and American Express.
I can't believe I seriously just use the term nerds.
The nerds.
Those nerds stole our ability to talk about the noise birds make.
At least almost any time you talk about nerds, you're talking about hyper-capitalists. Like in modern day, like, what's what the nerd has become?
Hyper-capitalists?
Yeah. Like actual nerds are never called nerds. The nerds who are the guys who...
What is a nerd?
Exactly.
Can you define a nerd?
I mean, I can define my personal idea of
nerds,
nerd.
The candy came prior to or
what is
after.
What is a stoner? What is a nerd?
the candy came after the derogatory term nerd.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because that's like, nerds is like, actually, I don't know. I don't know when nerds came about.
Or did the nerd candy come and someone decided that to take that name and you apply it to like.
No, I think the nerd candy came afterwards, right? Didn't it?
I don't know.
It's Willy Wonka makes
there
nerds.
There are nerds. They're definitely nerds, though.
Oh, yeah.
Man, without
there's,
question.
There's absolute nerds.
They're sort of like very critical, right? That's one quality of a nerd is they like to pick apart obscurities in a kind of critical way. They're the people who like get into like long arguments
obsession.
Over the nuances of some scene in StarCraft.
Right.
Or Star Trek, rather.
Or it could be StarCraft, or it could be Star Trek.
But it's usually these kind of fringe...
Anything that has to do with stars.
Yes.
Other than Hollywood stars.
Or, yeah, that's exactly right.
Right.
That's exactly... Astronomy.
Astronomy.
Star Trek.
Star Wars. StarCraft.
Starfish, probably.
Starfish.
There's probably starfish nerds.
Starfish. And I guess you could say Warcraft. I don't know. I don't want... This is a bad mode. This is bad to talk about.
Why?
I don't know. I just like... It's one of those things that I feel like is already on the tip of Like, if we turned on Good Morning America tomorrow, and they
what
were like,
is a nerd?
What is a nerd? Hoda, I don't know. What is a nerd? I think my nephew's a nerd, right? Oh, I farted. You know.
Yeah. Let's go to a picture of this corpse of a nerd. What if we start dissecting nerds to try to see if there's some... And as it turns out, there's a little annoying little caterpillar that lives in the spine. It's like a parasite. They find this weird, shitty fucking worm.
That's what it is. It's the nerd parasite.
A nerd worm. Yeah. It's burrowed into their spine, and is it controlling them in the same way that that toxoplasmosis virus right. fucks up French people?
It's like a spirochete that doesn't hit level 3.
It's like a what?
Yeah, it's like a syphilis spirochete that doesn't go to the level of driving you mad.
You think syphilis virus has levels?
It does have levels. It definitely. I don't think it has levels. I know it has levels.
It powers up.
It's got 3 levels. It's got 1, 2, and 3. I think the first one is undetectable. Second one is like last. It's like gestation.
See, this would help me understand so much more if it levels. I really do. Like, if I went to a trainer and he's like, listen, I can get you to level...
I can get level 3.
I can get you to level 30 in 6 months. Mm-hmm. I would be like, fuck yes, let's do it.
Well, you could have levels. I feel like I'm plateauing right now.
What level are you at?
Well, what are we talking about? Talking about my fitness?
In general, if this is a game, we're playing a fucking game, and it's a Jeez. It's a massive multiplayer game, and it's a sandbox game that right. we're all playing. What level are you? I think you're a fucking... You just fucking hit a high level,
I
just, dude.
I leveled up a little bit.
You just
bit.
Leveled up. You, for those of you who don't know, Johnny, I think the last time he was on, you were yeah. auditioning and you'd booked a pilot.
Yeah, and that was the last time I was here. Yeah.
So to explain how the pilot process works, because these people probably don't know. A lot of people don't know.
You think this is interesting, the pilot process?
I think it is for people who don't know about it, yeah.
Well, you want me to say like the entire thing?
No, fucking summarize it, please.
This is like brewing beer.
Don't fucking kill me here.
Well, a TV production company decides they want to make a TV show, mm-hmm. and they sell it to a network, mm-hmm. and then that network tells them, okay, make me an example of that show, which would be the pilot, mm-hmm. and they cast that pilot, and then and there's probably like, I think every network probably makes, oh, I don't really know, makes like 20 of them, 30 of them maybe? Maybe 30.
I don't know.
I think every year is probably about... Across the board, drama and comedy, maybe 30. Maybe
Let's
30.
Just guess. Let's say 30. I don't know.
And then they pick, I think, about 5 of those to be on TV. Yeah.
And that is what is known in Hollywood as sticking your dick in a honeypot.
It is.
Because when that happens, because the pilot's great. The pilot wins. You get a little bit of money from the pilot.
It's nice.
You get a little bit of credibility. You get a lot of credibility, actually. Booking a pilot's a big deal out here. It's like
deal.
An initiatory thing.
Right.
But when that motherfucker, and the lead up to whether or not it goes to series, this is like what happens is the group of, so it's this, it starts off as a swarm of mm-hmm. actors descending
oh,
on the casting studios of Hollywood, where they get narrowed down to a few who then have to go to network mm-hmm. to audition for the pilot.
They have to test.
They
it's
have to
testing,
test.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to test more than once. You have to
you
test
do.
Multiple times. And then once you test, you get into the, you go into a read, right? Once you make it
well,
through, you can go, you do a read.
Once you test, you do a table read for the network, and typically you've been chosen
but
by
you,
then.
But by then, you can still get your fucking...
Well, that's the thing.
Throat cut.
At any point in time, you can get your throat cut, except after it gets picked up.
So, yes.
And even then, you may not get picked up. The show might get
yeah,
picked up.
The character might go.
Yeah, or they may decide, like, oh, we found someone who's just so much better. Thank you.
But you got the pilot, and now they're fucking putting
they're
it on
it.
TV. What network is it?
It's going to be on ABC.
On ABC, and the name of the show?
It's called, just say the name of the show.
What's the name of the show?
I don't, it's called The Family Tools.
Oh, you said that? I didn't hear you.
I said the name of it, The Family
Earlier
Tools.
You said the name?
No, I didn't. Just that might not be the name, so. It's already changed 5 times.
Oh, they keep changing. But right now it's called The Family Tools.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good play on the name Family Jewels. It's pretty good.
You know who laughs at that?
Who?
People our parents' age. My dad doesn't laugh at anything. He thinks, I actually got an argument with him in Houston because my mom was laughing at the way I was doing a silly walk to the elevator. I was there in Houston for my sister's graduation.
Yeah.
I was doing a silly walk for the elevator. My mom and my sister were laughing really hard because it was really funny. My dad's like, well, what's funny about that? What are you laughing at? And I was like, yeah, they're laughing because I'm doing this funny walk. He's like, well, how is that funny? I'm like,
That's the worst question.
No.
That is my least favorite question.
Yeah.
That's a comedian's least favorite question.
But it was the first time I was like, I really didn't care. Because I was like, well, if that's fine if he doesn't find that funny. But more people found it funny than did not. So it's okay.
So he found the family tools funny?
Yeah, he laughed at that. It was like a genuine, like a, you know when you say something and someone's, it's unexpected and you go, like, ah, like an actual sort of a guffaw?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a guffaw.
So you,
a small one, but it's still.
So, well, your parents must be fucking thrilled for you.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think that's one of those things where there's nothing I could do wrong that my mom wouldn't like. I could, you know, I could say here that I drew a picture for a friend of mine and he really liked it. And she was, that's great. That's super great. The level of excitement's about, you know, 4 or 5 clicks different.
Yes. So, but your dad, what's the deal with your dad? He's not impressed?
He's impressed, but it's more of like the money side of things. It's like, you know, it's like the whole career, the safety, established brand. You are, you know, plowing forward. You're doing the, you know, it's a very safe sort of thing.
He's more into safety. Your mom's more into puffing you up no matter what.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have parents that way, don't they? Where one is, you can do no wrong, and the other one just sort of is indifferent.
Yeah, that dynamic exists. That's a pretty normal dynamic.
I think it's a good one for a comedy. It's a good comedy dynamic.
Well, I mean, it helps to have, you know, it does help to have some fucking nice thick tension between the two, the masculine and the feminine examples in your life to create a specific form of neurosis in you that makes you feel like you have a reason to go driving through traffic.
To go to the comedy
store. To get your
store.
Fucking dick in that honeypot.
Yeah.
What's your character's name in this show?
Mason. It's a good
name.
And
how many episodes?
We're shooting, I guess we'll shoot 13 or something, yeah.
How much you get per episode? Is it like $1 million?
Yeah, I get $1 million an episode.
I know it's
a lot. The thing is that stuff has changed a lot. It used to be the glory days of becoming a millionaire because you're on a TV show are over. They have been over for
a while.
Charlie Sheen was sort of like the last dinosaur.
Yeah, but you don't become a millionaire, but for
well, he's a millionaire.
Well, I know but even for most people out there,
right?
When they look at the numbers that an actor makes for doing these TV shows,
right?
It is lottery.
It's
numbers.
Stupid.
It's lottery numbers.
Well, it's not lottery numbers anymore. At least not for someone who's early in their career.
If you're making, and I don't know how much you're making. I'm just kidding. I don't expect you to say how much.
I won't.
I'll Google search it, or I'll get into your phone and find it, and I'll post it on the message board. I'll find it. But
it's so secret that the woman, when I signed the papers, they wouldn't let me use my own pen.
They wouldn't let the woman who you signed the papers. They've gouged her eyes out.
Yeah,
she's like some Conan barbarian slave. No, the only people who know how much you're getting paid is you and two of these albino bald dudes who remember the Beastmaster, the creatures that could dissolve people's bodies.
One sees, one can hear. One has eyes and one has a mouth.
One is named Thoth the Seer. The other is Grimlex the Speaker.
And they have like this sort of like this strange tube that connects them, and that's all. They take care of all the money. Everything goes through them.
They don't even. No, Grimlex doesn't speak. He shakes the tube, and the vibrations of the tube create this harmonic voice. You will make. $500,000 for the series.
Before taxes.
Before taxes. Yeah. I remember when I first started realizing the numbers that those people make, it was pretty spectacular. I mean, it is
Yeah.
I mean, you have to look at like the majority of people out there. They're making, you know, $100,000 a year.
Right.
Is an incredible.
It's a lot of money.
It's an incredible amount of money, or it's a good amount. It'll get you in certain parts of the country. It'll get you a house.
Oh yeah.
It'll get you. It'll get you a lot of
multiple dogs.
Multiple dogs.
All the food.
A fucking premium hammock.
Uh-huh.
It'll get you. You could probably get a hot tub on that with that number and a lake boat.
You could probably get a. You might even be able to get a lake house.
Yeah, you might. You might if your credit's good.
Right.
But the amount of money that for TV, it's going to be at least triple that.
It can be.
And that kind of money is ridiculous. That's Budapest money. That's, yeah. Fuck it, man. You know where I'm going this weekend? I'm going to Budapest. I heard there's a really great spa there. It's like, that's like, you just watch Anthony Bourdain. You turn the Anthony Bourdain show into your itinerary.
You can't. That's what I was talking with someone about that, about that's the point in which you know you have a lot of money is when you, there's nothing stopping you from going anywhere at any moment.
Going to Switzerland.
That's the point when it's like, I think that would fuck up my life. If I had that,
how would it
money.
Fuck up your life?
Because it's too much freedom. I feel like it's too much freedom in terms of. I don't think it would fuck up my life, but I think it would. There's a lot of people, like you hear stories. You hear stories. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a lot of documentation from people whose lives were just fucking destroyed by winning the lottery.
Well, see, I have a theory about that.
Yeah.
See, I have this metaphysical theory about that. I think that. And you're going to probably disagree with me because you're a goddamn skeptic and you demand proof and logic behind my ideas.
Oh, God, shut up.
But my
black hole.
No, it's not a fucking black hole.
It's the white hole, sorry. Metaphysical?
No, I think that you got to earn your fucking money. I think you have to earn your money. And I think that people have this kind of karmic crater that exists in their life. And until they, until they fill that karmic crater up with a certain amount of positive output, a certain amount of work, whatever right. the thing is, any kind of money that they get just sinks down into that crater and vanishes into the nothingness. So
I agree with that. And that's the same thing as these people who have a normal life, whatever you call it, where they're working a reasonable amount of time and they have everything's pretty copacetic. That just throws a whole wrench in it because it takes away. You don't need anything. You don't have to. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to work. You don't have to. Yes. You don't have to maintain anything in your life. So any type of weakness is just pounded at by a billion-dollar yeah. chisel. Just rips a hole open in you, and you're like, well, I guess I'm gonna fucking shoot coke on a roof until you know, and get picked up by a helicopter, and then while my relatives rip my limbs off.
Yep, that's it. That's the it's because you from working hard, and I'm you know I know that it's a common misconception that actors don't work hard, but there's a lot of fucking the anxiety and the stress that goes into 99% of the people who've made it into their careers.
Well, the hours you spend actually working on
it's brutal. Yeah. It's like. You're like psychologically, you've been hanging out at that camp, base camp, just underneath the peak of Everest for years. You're fucking, you can get shattered from it. So it's an incredible, you don't have comfort in the normal way. Like if you have I can remember the times when I've had a normal job and, you just know 2 weeks, I'm going to get this much money.
Yeah.
There's just no question.
You can plow through it.
Yeah.
You can kind of, yeah, there's
you,
all sorts of
you know it's
things.
Coming. You've got this stability. And that stability produces this specific type of comfort, which is very soothing and can be quite pleasurable at times. Whereas if you're a fucking actor or a comic and you're doing freelance work or whatever it is you do, quite often when you put that check, especially in the beginning, when you put that check into the ATM and that ATM sucks that check down, that's it.
Yeah.
You don't know where the next check's coming.
Right, you have
that's
no
it.
Idea.
You got no insurance. You've got nothing to back you up. You can't collect unemployment because you haven't been you've been getting W-4s or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
It can be really brutal. Mm-hmm. So you earn it in some way. You've earned it. You've earned it in some way. Whereas lottery winners, it's just all of a sudden this giant fucking cock sprays green jizz all over them, and they're just they drowned in it like fleas on a whore's belly.
Yeah, I don't even know what I would do. I don't even know what I would do
with that. Well, I know what I would do. I know exactly I know exactly what I'd do, and we're gonna cut to a commercial while I pour Johnny some coffee, and then I'll come back and tell you what I'd do with my lottery winning.
Ooh.
Are you tired of walking around feeling as though you're wearing a web of angry hedgehogs that have been sewn together with fish hooks? Are you annoyed with the deep, oozing sores that erupt in your body anytime you put on a normal cotton t-shirt? Does it annoy you that you're not making out with the hottest girl in your yoga class because you've been wearing Insane Clown Posse t-shirts smeared with jizz? Well, I've got the answer for you. Shure Design T-shirts. SureDesignT-shirts.com, a company in Thailand, creates some of the softest, coolest T-shirts known to man. How do they do it? It's simple. They have an army of 9-year-old Thai children who they have trained to climb the rocks and cliffs of the Thai mountains that surround the Shure Design T-shirt company. These kids go up into the black, briny rocks, and they climb up there to these nests where these mountain chihuahuas nest. These are beautiful little dogs, the cutest things ever. And they use tweezers to pull out the tongues of the puppies, and they fill bags up with the puppy tongues, bring them back down to the Shure Design T-shirt company, and these tongues are run through the mouth of monks. The monks chew up the tongues. They regurgitate the tongues like mother birds into the sewing mechanisms that are then sew the regurgitated tongues into the shirts that I'm wearing one right now. And they're soft, wonderful. They bring you good luck, and they bring you dreams of a place where million-eyed beings vibrate far beneath the earth, telepathically telling you of a time when they will rise to power and all of us will merge as one mind. And that's pretty fun. The dreams are great. The shirts are better. But what's better than that? Finally tasting the tongue of the hottie in your yoga studio. There's nothing like that when you finally get that sweaty old yoga tongue buried deep in your throat. And that's what Shure Design T-shirts can help you with. So, if you want the softest, coolest, sweetest, most incredible shirt known to man, go to SureDesignT-shirts.com. And when you order these shirts and put my name, Duncan, in, you get 10% off. SureDesignT-shirts.com. Stick your tongue down someone's throat. Love the world. And dance. Dance with the sand god. Shure Design T-shirts. We're back. Here's what I'd do if I had won some kind of massive lottery winnings.
I wish I could play some music under this.
If I had some endless money.
So if you had Arab money, is this?
Yeah, Arab money. Arab money. This is what I would do. First, I would move to a drug-friendly country or part of the world.
Do you have like a couple in mind, maybe?
What?
Do you have a couple in mind?
Well, I wouldn't move there. I'd have a house there.
Okay.
Or a geodesic dome, in fact.
Number two places, please. Two examples.
Just some, I don't know, fucking somewhere in Sweden where I've paid everyone off deep in the forest. Maybe Switzerland. I don't know what their rules are.
Got it.
Norway. I'd like to go to Norway. I don't know. I think they're actually pretty strict.
So you're trying to get away from black people.
Here's the point. You son of a bitch. No way. No way. That's wait till I get to my second. Wait till I get to the second thing I do.
Okay.
First thing I do, geodesic dome in an area where I'm not going to get fucked with by pigs. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's by cops, you mean?
Pigs.
Okay.
Pigs.
By the man.
Not cops. Cops are people who enforce the laws, protect people. Pigs are people who arrest farmers. There's a difference. Pigs are the guys who punch fucking protesters in the tits and,
rip couches open.
Yeah, those are pigs. Cops and pigs are two different species altogether. I feel sorry for cops because they have to fucking work
hard job
with pigs. Very that sucks. So I get a geodesic dome. And I would hire a man. I think he's actually lives in Sweden. He's an artist. I would hire this artist in Sweden to turn taxidermied animals into helicopters around my geodesic dome. I'll show you the video, man. I'll show it to you in a second.
Awesome.
It's fucking incredible, right? So anyone in the neighborhood in the area who had an animal die that they loved,
it's now a helicopter.
Could bring the animal to my geodesic dome, and I would have this guy transform it into a helicopter.
So it's called like post-mortem helicopterization?
Yeah, post-mortem. That's what it's called now, right?
So PMH.
Now in the basement of my geodesic dome, I have hired the guy who makes pharmaceutical psilocybin and ecstasy for the government, for the tests that they do. I've hired him. I've gone to him and said, how much do they pay you?
You bought him out.
I brought him out. I'm going to bring your family out. You're going to live in the bottom of my geodesic dome, and you're going to make psilocybin. So then what I would do is I would have tubes emerging from the side of the geodesic dome.
Ooh.
And every Sunday you could come and sip this really sweet tasting nectar. Now the tube's coming out. I'm going to steal it from Kubrick, from the Clockwork Orange. Uh-huh. It's going to be different.
Tits.
The breasts of different animals. Some of them, like, it's not just human breasts. mouse breast,
teats,
just the various teats of the world, mm-hmm. right? You could pick what teat you want to suckle from,
right?
Famous people's teats, you know, the Queen of England's teats, the Obama daughter's teats, whatever.
I would like an Obama himself teat.
Obama's teats, you could suckle at the nipples of Obama.
God.
But so what happens is on Sundays, we bring everyone out from the surrounding villages and neighborhoods. Right. There's laying around the geodesic dome are
pillows,
remote controls and pillows.
Okay.
There's compartments in the geodesic dome, mm-hmm. right? So they go suckle at the teats with some, you know, the mice is psilocybin, Obama's ecstasy. You learn which teats have which psychoactive substance,
okay.
but it's not listed. You have to figure it out yourself over the course of many weeks.
And one of them's a Jimson weed, right?
one of them's bath salts. Yeah. But so there's going to be snipers in the trees around the geodesic dome. But so this is what you do. You just fly fucking taxidermied helicopter pets while you're tripping around my geodesic dome. And I sit in the very top of the dome in a hot tub. And I just wave to the kids and watch, and I maybe fly my own helicopter, which could be like my grandmother's
dog
head.
Or your grandmother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. That's what I do.
That sounds good.
And what would you do?
Geez, I don't know. I think I would probably buy a sailboat. Probably like a really big catamaran and hire like a nice, I don't know. I'd start up a really nice like music festival in Jamaica, and have a huge barn, and I have be on a big lake that air float planes could land on.
Yes,
maybe this massive music festival wouldn't just be reggae, but it would be have a lot of these old cats. You know, have Prince Jazzbo be like my nice. Attaché.
Nice.
And I think I'd have this massive barn. This is just one ad. This is like 10%.
Yes.
Massive barn where you have this week-long mega festival, but it's not like a festival in terms of like Coachella or some crap. There's seating. There's, you can go to places that have a volume that you like.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of space. And the big thing is all about when I fly in my best friends, I greet them on the dock with a big flowing shirt and it's open and I'm all tan. I'm like, welcome.
Oh, that's fun.
With like the float plane air, the propeller air washing my shirt open as I'm
that's on romantic the dock.
Yeah.
And fun.
That would be like once a year. And the rest of the year, I'd probably just be, I don't know.
You know what I'd do?
I'd like to sail though.
With the rest of my money that I had?
What'd you do?
I would build this aquatic gorilla submarine, like a giant aquatic, like King Kong size submarine. Not the kind that like goes like a boat, but it walks across the ocean floor. Aquatic gorilla giant. And I would, once a year, right as you're greeting people and like trying
you'd
to get,
smash
I would rise
me.
Out of the water in my aquatic
me.
Gorilla.
Well, you
know, I wouldn't smash you.
No.
I'd like kidnap you.
Duncan.
I'd kidnap you.
There is not enough money in the world for both of these ideas to coexist. It's one or the other, man.
Sure there are.
No.
You don't think you could.
I told you that's 10% of my idea. 10%. Buying a fucking island off the coast of Jamaica with a big enough lake to land a float plane in it. Hiring every single living musician who I like and putting them up in like a massive.
Arab princes could do this.
Okay, they can do it. Hold on, it's not.
People who make the oil could do this.
There would be psilocybin, but it would be naturally occurring. It wouldn't be like filtered through some weird underground tubes to be.
Tit tubes.
It wouldn't be tit tubed, but tit tubed. It would be. I don't know.
Well, you're old fashioned.
I don't want to think about this. I don't
but
like.
You're old fashioned. No, it's just. I think it's good. The reason it's interesting to talk about. Here's why. Here's why it's interesting to talk about.
I'm frowning.
Because they're these Arab princes.
They can do all this.
They can do this, and they don't.
They don't. They buy. Well, that's what I always think is so horrible. There's always people who have so much money, but they're so bad at spending it.
Yeah.
I think that's the way the world is.
Where are the aquatic gorillas?
There's one guy. His name's Richard Branson, and even him, he's not that good at it.
Well, he's, he wants to mine meteors. He's pretty cool. I like what he's, right. I like the direction he's going in.
George Clooney's not far off, at least with his humanitarian crap. But he's still
Clooney's cool, but I mean, no, where's the pranks, man?
It doesn't happen. I'll tell you why. This is my theory. It doesn't happen because the type of person who makes that much money typically is made that much money because of their ability to use massive amounts of restraint. And, like, they're super boring right. and conservative.
Yes.
Except, and, like, those princes, there's princes out there who are doing stuff, but you just don't know about it because it's, like,
right.
you know, it's horribly evil stuff.
Yes.
Like, oh, let's kill a virgin today.
Yeah.
As we drink, like, the blood of a fucking mutated baby camel.
No, they, like, train eagles to fly
yeah.
in.
Yeah,
they
falconry.
Train virgin-sniffing falcons to fly into villages, sniff out a virgin, and fly her into a hyena cage and
right.
just drop her in there.
And then they have her hymen.
And they're not even there when it happens. They just know
yeah.
it's happening.
And then they have crystals made to surround her that are the shape of vaginas or something like that.
Or put her in a vagina crystal.
Vagina-shaped
crystals with, like, a virgin in the middle. Like those... Like those awful, stupid tequila worm pops. Remember that
yeah.
shit that came out?
What
do they still make those?
They do. What were they called? I forget.
Dipshit, dumb pops.
I remember thinking they were so cool. I was just like, wow.
A worm in the pop.
Oh, you going to eat it? Are
yeah.
you going to eat it?
You
going to
eat the worm? You going to eat the worm?
Hey.
You going to get fucked up with that tequila worm? Oh, you do. You do, don't you? Is that true? Do you get
no.
fucked up from a
no.
tequila worm?
That's a whole big thing.
Oh, you get fucked up, boy. Oh, I ate that worm and I was gone.
It's that bullshit logic like, oh, yeah, it'll fuck you up, bro. It'll fuck you up. Mm-hmm.
That tequila worm.
What? Is it going to fuck me up? Oh, I think you probably should not have it, man. I don't know if you can handle it, bro. That's like it's like crazy shit, bro. It's got mescal in it.
It'll fuck you up, boy.
It'll fuck you up,
it'll
bro.
It'll fuck you up.
Well, yeah, you better, like, watch out, man.
Hey, dude, I'm not joking. I ate that fucking worm, dude, and I got fisted that night. No joke.
I have a question.
Yes.
When you were little, did you have a southern accent when you were like 5?
Yes, a little bit. Like, if you hear, I don't know where it is. I'll see if I can find it. There's like recordings
oh
of me
God.
And my brother playing this Atari game called Space Ark,
uh-huh.
where you would fly down, and it was just, I had this little southern accent. I talk like this,
I would, if there was a drug that would allow me to like just instantaneously travel in time, I'd want to go back in time and like spend a day with baby Duncan.
Ooh, that would be fucked. That
little like, hey, mama, look what I got me a salamander, mama. Oh, mama, the buzzy thing bit me, mama. Duncan, baby, that's a bee. Oh, mommy, hurt. That'd be the cutest thing in the world.
Baby Duncan.
Running around barefoot in North Carolina.
I was proud of being barefoot.
Oh, man.
You know, I was a weird little kid all the way through,
you think
man.
So? Like, what makes you think you were weird?
I can remember.
I'm not just super cute.
I'll tell you. I went to this summer camp called Camp Pinnacle.
Uh-huh.
And there was Camp Pinnacle.
So that's a weird name.
It's a great camp. They're opening it up again. They closed it down for a second. They're opening it up again. I hope it's going to be as awesome as it was when I was there. But there was a leather shop. Right,
uh-huh.
So you could make
you can like pound in your name into
yeah,
a belt,
into a belt.
Right? Yeah.
You could make a belt. You could
yeah.
make. So I, knowing nothing about S&M or bondage at the time, because I'm just a kid.
This is that's a great opening for the story.
I want to make. I decide that I want to make a leather mask. knowing nothing.
How old are you? Like 7?
Yeah,
maybe?
No. This is I was like probably 10 or
okay,
11. Too young to know that.
So still
the,
young
the
enough
joys
to have a,
of bondage,
and still young enough to have a. I'm Duncan. Hey y'all.
I just want to make a mask.
Y'all, hold on here. I'm still working on my leathers here. Hold on, y'all. Y'all, mama, is there more sweet potatoes for me? I'm still working out here. I don't want it to get dark and it get to all being all dry out here in the shed. Oh, mama, my toe hurt.
Mama, when I rub your feet, I want to wear the leather mask I made at leather shop.
I think it'd feel good.
I think it'd feel good. I'd be like a little raccoon rubbing your feet, mama.
Mama, is it true that raccoons steal a baby at night?
So yeah, I made this fucking creepy, now when I look back at it, and I remember like the guy who ran leather shop. Because they're just like counselors when you're a kid.
They're seem old, but they're all 19.
They were all laughing.
Yeah.
They're like, well, okay. You want to make it? Okay. They thought it was really funny
yeah.
to let me make it. But, so I made a little fucking leather face mask with no like, and I was, because you know what it was, man? My when my parents were divorced, I would like, I was into Fangoria and horror movies and
at
shit.
At this point in time?
Yeah, I
okay.
was already into that. So when I was making that mask.
You did know.
I didn't know about bondage. I knew that it was something like a murderer.
Right,
wear.
Okay. You didn't realize that thing, what they were wearing, was scary because of that.
Yeah. Yes. I would just think, yeah, this is what you'd wear if you were like a Freddy.
A killer.
Yeah. But yeah, like it'd be a spooky man. I didn't know that it's what you wear if you're a fucking...
You're so scary,
Duncan.
If you
just pop some Viagra and want to have a little fun with a
nice anonymous fun with a child tramp.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wasn't going to say child tramp.
With a hitchhiker.
Hitchhiker.
A young
fun
hitchhiker.
Fun with hitchhikers. It's my new book. It's coming out. How to have fun with hitchhiking girls. You know, I know, here's a little, you know how they do that thing in Defamer they used to where they won't say the person who's famous?
But they say it by saying everything?
I know a famous person who allegedly would go to the fucking Greyhound station or the train station downtown and fucking pick up girls.
Like just troll around. Was he famous enough to be like, hey, I'm Ben Affleck.
Yes.
Do you want a ride?
Mm-hmm.
And you want that ride comes with a cost kind
of
thing?
Yes. Yeah. No, because I remember hearing that, and I'd never been to the downtown train station.
I've only driven by it. It's nasty.
It's nasty, but
not the train station, the bus station.
The bus station.
Yeah.
But I've been down there, and you really do see these girls that look like they're from the Coyote Ugly movie or something, or they look like the end of the sun come up over Santa Monica Boulevard song, like it's when the sun came up like a few days ago.
Right.
And they're still awake because they're on meth, and they're like wearing like fucking like always wearing cowboy boots and a mini skirt and have a little dilapidated, tattered fucking suitcase, and they kind of smell like cigarettes.
Ankle tattoo.
Yeah. So that's like you would go there as this famous person and you would be like, ooh, hey, what's up? And then you'd like, you'd be like, hey, you need a lift somewhere? And then you take them back to your really fucking nice place and you let them stay there.
You like make them eat food and
you clean them up.
You hose them down.
You clean them up like when you find an old dog. You like when you find a street dog, you like wash them up. You get their pussy scrubbed down. You fucking check them for lice. You get their fucking old makeup washed off
their
face.
You get their pussy scrubbed down.
Yeah, you get their pussy scrubbed. And then,
wait. You said how Defamer, they say the person without saying the person.
Yes.
So you haven't done that, though.
I'm not going to say the person.
Then why'd you even mention that? Why'd you mention that whole thing about saying the
person? Because
we were
talking about fucking hitchhikers.
Oh, okay. But so that whole thing, you were not ever going to say without saying it?
I'm not going to say the name of this person because it's
no,
real.
No, not the name. I said without saying the name. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
You know how I could allude to Duncan Trussell without saying Duncan Trussell? Like, oh, he's a bearded guy.
I'm not going to say.
Okay.
I'm not going to say because it's real, man. They're like a praying mantis. They'd go down there like a fucking praying mantis and they just
snatch them up.
Just snatch those.
I believe that.
Junked out tramps, whirl them up to their eagle's nest and scrub their pussy down and fuck them.
I believe. There's almost nothing I won't believe as far as that goes because you get people like that. I think that probably provides some type of release and like a connection to something that is they've lost a long time ago.
Yeah.
Having someone who's a... Yeah, because if you're at that point, no one says no to you and everything is... You know, everything is... I don't know.
Well, here's what it is. It's for the psychology of people just coming into Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
Is really a sad, generally a very
sad
psychology.
Especially by that way, coming in that way.
By bus. And especially if they're like, already have the tattoos and already think, instead of coming in with some humility, as you should come into any situation,
coming in sizzling,
ready to go.
Sizzle.
You're going to take over the town.
I got such good words to read.
Yeah.
Oh, my eyes are so good.
Yeah, you know,
my dick's such a big wrangle dangle.
Yeah, exactly. And you come here like that, and if you're a girl or guy, there are, in the same way in every other aspect of nature, there are predatorial beings that prowl the streets.
They're called agents.
agents are, not really. No,
there's
low level bullshit agents.
That's what I mean.
But
that's
take it
mean.
A notch lower. I'm talking about the ones who want to fuck you. I'm talking about the prowlers, the true creeps. Like they will. I've seen it happen, man.
See, I feel so lucky. I've never once had to deal with anything like that. I mean, for some reason, it's obvious because I don't like put myself in that situation. But someone's laughing. I don't feel like I've ever had to I feel blissfully unaware of that whole end of things, but I see it every once in a while. You know, you see it, like a friend of mine got some book given to her by some guy at a gas station, and it was like a self-published book. It's like a very like Bukowski, John Fante style of writing. And the font is huge, and it's super spaced out, and it's like this. I read some of it the other day, and it's like, this is so bad.
Yeah.
And it's that thing. It's like that same thing where everything about it, like the cover art is him, picture of him, like smoking a cigarette.
Ooh.
Like, you know, like I'm the next James Dean.
Yeah, sure.
I know it.
Sure.
It's that. And it's like, you can tell, like you can smell the desperation where if you were just smart enough to tell that guy the right couple of things, you know, he would do anything.
He'd do anything.
Yeah.
He'd do anything.
He'd be like, you like just threw a couple compliments at his
and
way.
And they know it, man. These fucking, there's people, they, it's like, they're like in Big Bear, there's mountain lions that live up at the highest altitudes. Mm-hmm. And you don't really see them because they hang out there in the highest altitudes and they just eat whatever the fuck they eat up there. In the same way, out here, there's these old tattered beings that live
crusty.
Up in the high altitudes. And from time to time, they feel that old feeling in their stomach. Oh, what is that?
I think I'll go out and get me a little meat.
Yeah, I think it's time to go hunting. And then they go down. They go down from their fucking perch in the hills of Hollywood, going down to the bus stops and the bars.
Yeah.
And just, and then they find, that's when they find the dude. They're at the gas station in their fucking Maserati, and that guy gives them his fucking book, and they're like,
they can smell it.
This poetry is beautiful. What's your name again? James? It isn't James. I knew James Dean, you see, and I thought you were James Dean.
Yeah. I'm so old, I've just forgotten the way things are nowadays. No one likes true art. Do you like art?
Do you like art? I can tell you do. God, don't look at me with those eyes.
Remember that part of Midnight Cowboy where there's the preacher guy? He was like, Joe Buck, you got a strong back, boy, because you're going to need it. He's like, that movie's so creepy.
That movie is deeply fucking creepy, man. But that's...
Yeah, it's that guy.
So then that fucking dude with his fucking poems, all of a sudden he's in a Maserati, and all of a sudden the guy's like, listen, I'm going to... No matter what, you're going to be a star. You know it? I know it. Listen, I know it's tough. Where are you staying? And the kid will be like, oh, I'm staying on Melrose and La Brea. Ugh. You shouldn't stay in a place like that. You're an actor. Listen, stay in my guest house.
You gotta stretch out.
Come on. We're gonna go up to the fucking... We're gonna go up. You're gonna stay in my guest house. I live next to Tommy Lee Jones. He's gonna give you a couple of classes. Do you like him? Next thing you know, you're up in the fucking hills.
You like him? Oh, wow. No one like...
Now you've got just enough time to fucking text your mom. You know, somewhere in the ride, you're texting family members already, like, get ready, I've made it, this is happening, I got spotted by this guy.
Checks are in the mail, baby.
Checks are in the mail. And then you're just fucking getting all this blow and heroin shoved down your throat, and the next thing you know, man, you're just getting mouth-fucked by a group of guys in penguin outfits or whatever the hell they're doing up there these days. We don't know what they're doing, but...
No, don't. Thank
that's
God.
That's the path.
The closest thing I had to that happen to me was a guy in a bar in London, an old perv. He petted my hair, heavily petted it. And then he said to some guy, I like your nice, fine stable of fillies here. But he said it wrong because we're not fillies, right? We're mares. I don't know, how does it work?
You'd be a filly, baby.
Are we a filly? I thought it was the other way around, no?
You're a filly.
Okay, so he said that. And that was like, I felt the creep so deep.
You know what happened
Such
to
a
me?
Deep creep.
I was in Santa Monica. Mm-hmm. And... I can remember I was standing at a bar in Santa Monica. I'd gone in there to get a beer by myself for some weird reason. Not a weird reason. Probably wanted to, like, get a beer and see if there were any girls there. Who knows? It was a very long time ago before I became an old man. But there was a guy standing next to me. And I had barely been talking to this guy. And he's like, come on, let's get out of here.
Oh, man.
And then he, like, pushes against my leg. And he's got like a semi-erect dick. Like I felt it. I felt his dick push into my leg. And at that moment, I realized like any illusion that I ever had when I had a semi-erect dick and accidentally brushed a girl like at any time when we were making out, like they definitely know your cocks aren't. You know, like you can't hide that. It was fucking the weirdest feeling to feel that like sudden like thing.
So where'd you guys go?
We just fucked in his car.
So where'd you go?
You know, man, but with this, like, Do you think with the stuff that's happening with like gay marriage and like gay, gay people are going to soon be allowed to get married, and it's, you know, a couple generations, it's going to, do you think everybody's just going to be kind of bisexual in about two generations?
No. Do you think so? I don't think so.
Well, man, I don't know. I don't know because it's going to, like, you know how, like...
I think it's a sliding scale with everyone, though.
So we go back to the closest thing we have to compare to what's happening now, which is the...
The Greeks?
No, not the Greeks. the fucking segregation. Even though it's very different. It's very different in the sense that the shit black people endured was a million times worse than what gay people are enduring right now culturally, because black people are getting hung from fucking trees, beaten. And gay people have had that to a degree, but not to the massive degree that it's happened to black people. But still, if you went back in time to the era of segregation and you brought up and explained life now and said, you know what? A black person's going to be president of this country.
Right.
They would look at you like you are a lunatic.
You're crazy. Yeah. I mean, so you're saying based upon that, you think it's...
I just wonder. I think there's definitely people who have like genetic predispositions towards certain types of sexuality.
Right.
But if you could if you just removed completely from your mind all of the conditioning that had been placed there by homophobic people,
right,
so that it's just not there anymore, it's just gone,
would I be bisexual? I don't know. It's
you
tough.
Are bisexual.
Well,
I'm
yeah
saying,
I'm I think everyone is to a degree, but I think it's
especially you.
Okay. I think there's like a, it's like, it's a numbers thing. It's like a, are you 10%, 20%, 40%?
Yeah. Some people are. What I'm saying. How much of it is the conditioning, which we will never know because we were, like my, my grandmother.
But you can't be unconditioned.
My grandma, you can't.
Unless you somehow were raised by bacteria in a hermetic tube.
That would be an incredible fucking
magical nanobacteria that are controlled by electrical impulses or something.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you know, that it's just something you wonder.
Yeah, I don't know. I like to think that if you're high-minded enough, that conditioning doesn't have the same kind of effect as it would on someone else. That's why, it's the same reason people always protect children from things. So why they're so quick to use that argument and always protect kids, because they're so impressionable. It's like, and so I think there's also adults who are just as impressionable, and I think that even though it's all that conditioning, it can only go so far to someone who's smart enough to realize what it is.
This is, I remember when I first heard these ideas, articulated in an academic way. I was in college, and this guy, I wish I could remember his fucking name, and he's a Fulbright scholar. He'd done research into the mushroom rituals of indigenous people in South America. And like, he was a cool motherfucker, but I was too dumb to recognize what an awesome guy he was. And I can remember he was doing a lecture on the different ways that people define homosexuality culturally.
Okay.
And so in some cultures, being homosexual is not having sex with a man. It's being penetrated by a man.
Okay.
So you can fuck a man in the mouth or the asshole, and you're still straight.
Hmm.
But if you like to get penetrated,
then you're gay.
You're gay. And
you're a poof.
There was a thing on Reddit where it was a scholar of Greek sexuality. And so if your girlfriend back in ancient Roman sexuality, if your girlfriend cheats on you, your wife cheats on you,
you get to do a kill.
The only way to redeem yourself is to fuck the guy who
she
fucked in the mouth.
So if my girlfriend cheated on me with a guy named Jacob, I'd have to go put my dick in Jacob's mouth.
Yeah, you'd have to sit down and say, look, dude, we got to talk, man.
Right.
You fucked my girl.
Right.
So how are we going to do this? Is it going to be a fucking fight?
Or am I
going to give me? Are you going to give me a wonderful orgasm?
What did this is a Greek thing?
I think it was Roman.
Roman,
and also it was considered the worst. It would be better for a man to suck another man's penis than it would be for a man to lick a girl's pussy.
Oh,
like,
God.
That was considered the bottom.
You do not lick a pussy.
Ever.
You do not.
Ever.
You do not.
But I kind of understand that.
Yeah.
Because back then, a woman's pussy was probably crusted with just the blood and pus and
not
fleas.
True. No way.
You think women had clean
Absolutely.
Pussies back then? They weren't.
Those pussies have always been
those
clean.
Those pussies were explosions.
No fucking way.
Of
no,
hair.
They weren't.
Their pussies look like afros. Their fucking
so
pussies.
So what? You can still have a pussy like that today. You can still have an afro pussy. No problem.
Nothing wrong with an afro pussy today because they got something called shampoo.
I don't think that. I think that's
all
totally,
that old aqueduct water. That's what you do is you try to spritz
like,
it with that old.
That's like saying like your colon is dirty or something because it has poop in it.
Like saying that.
Exactly.
That's a bad connection.
I mean, then you go get a colonic. Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't getting colonics back then, dude.
No, exactly. You don't need to get a colonic. A colonic's ridiculous.
These women, there was no toilet paper.
Those pussies were not any dirtier. Pussies are not any dirtier than a pussy today, man.
Pre-toilet paper
no,
pussy.
That is that
pre-toilet paper pussy, friend.
You know, most of the world does not use toilet paper.
But they use water.
Yeah, which is much cleaner.
Back then, they weren't
much
fucking,
cleaner.
You'd shit 17 times before you washed your ass.
Duncan. Read the Talmud. I don't know. Read the Quran. Three stones, baby. Three stones.
Well, I don't know, man. All I know is that we're entering a really interesting time, and there's some people who are so overwrought by what's
the dirtiness
happened.
Of pussies.
By the dirt, not just that.
Dirtiness
but,
of men on men.
Yeah, it is because we're starting to see these like news stories emerge of these pastors in North Carolina and they seem to be the southern states mostly. I haven't seen a lot of like western pastors doing this, but it's these guys are like, we got to take. Did you see the one with the guy that's like, take the homosexuals? This is a
really?
Pastor. What we should do?
I haven't seen this.
Is take the homosexuals and put them in a fence. And put the men in one fence. This is a follower of Jesus.
This is clearly a homosexual man.
Put the men in one fence. Put the women in another fence. Airdrop food over them, and then just wait. And they're gonna die out.
That's like missing the phrase from the Bible. But what is it? I always say it wrong. But
throw the first stone, dummy.
Lest you not be judged yourself. That's how it ends, right? It's
He was not.
He was not sinned.
Throw the first stone.
Right. So, and that's basically what that is.
Yeah,
it's just casting judgment as though who are you to judge anyone at all? You're not God.
It's like, you know what it's like, man? What's happening right now with the...
You ain't God.
But what this does, anytime minds open a little bit more, this reminds me of like shaving your fucking pubes when you have crabs. It's like if you have crabs and you have pubic hair, you can't see them. But if you shave your pubes and you have crabs, you see those little.
I
wouldn't know either.
Yeah,
my great aunt told me this about this, but she always had crabs. She raised them.
She's an old crabber.
She used to raise them and make pate.
Yeah, pate?
She used to make pate.
Oh, my God.
Out of the crabs.
I can't think of something worse than that's probably the worst thing I could ever think of.
You should taste it. That's worse.
It's got probably so pungent.
But in the same way, like every time.
That's where the word pungent comes from.
God. That's the name of it. Punjay.
It breaks windows.
Crack. Crab punjay.
What is that? It's the crab stench.
Dude, I'll tell you this. If you were out in the fucking wilderness and didn't have anything to eat and you had crabs, you'd be glad because you could eat them. Now, so this clears things down, and all of a sudden you start really seeing the snakes in the grass.
Right.
It's like mowing grass filled with snakes. All of a sudden you start seeing the serpents coiling, and now you see these pastors, and they're like, build a fence. There's another one that's like, it's a little kid. Someone tweeted this thing to me. It's a little kid singing, Jesus don't want no homos. Jesus don't want no homos.
Oh, I gotta see this.
I'll show it to you right now. Hold on. Let me show it. Yeah, hit play on that thing.
Oh, my God. This is unbelievable. Oh, it's been taken on an iPhone. I love that. I love when you see Apple products in like the most ignorant situations. Woo! Oh, the worst is the cheering. That's the worst.
That's
part.
What's the creepiest thing about the fucking thing.
God.
It's the cheering. Aside from the fact that the poor little kid has no idea what he's talking about.
Oh, yeah, no idea.
And if he does know what he's talking about, then his parents have been fucking abusing him.
Jeez.
By fucking, you know, the kid's too young to talk about any type of any sex at all. But
alone how the horrors of faggotry.
Sit down, little Joan. I want to tell you something,
Let
Joan.
Let me tell you. Do you know what a faggot is?
You know that worm in between your daddy's legs? Well, that went into my
that goes into your mama deep, and when you hear her scream, she love it.
Yeah,
well,
she love it.
There's men out there. I hesitate to even call them men who take that beautiful God snake and they do faggotry with it. Do you know what faggotry is?
It's like witchcraft, but worse.
Imagine if your brother came in here with that snake and he pulled it out and you sucked upon it.
I suck on my brother's dick.
You do not. You suck upon your baby daddy's dick. Yeah. I'll rip the lips off you and burn you to a crisp and we'll pray the day.
We'll pray the day. We'll pray the Leviticus.
We'll pray the day you got that deadly faggotry snake ripped apart.
But you see, this is to me, you see these things and what it shows you is how... If your version of the future happens,
right?
And the
what is my version of the future?
Your version of the future.
You always distort my version of the future.
Your version of the future is we run out of fucking fuel,
okay,
and everything collapses.
I have made some amendments I'd like to talk to you about, but keep going.
So let's just say your old version of the future.
Okay.
We run out of oil, everything collapses, things go dark, right?
Right.
When you see people in a church who have compelled a child to say the most bigoted, moronic, idiotic thing.
They will kill us.
And are cheering. Yes.
Yeah.
They will burn witches.
They will kill.
They will kill.
Yeah.
These are people who will kill in the name of God.
That is true. I think that there is hope, and I think that a lot of those people will end up dying because I guarantee everyone in that church is hopelessly dependent upon fossil fuels and has no real skills with which to survive without them.
Oh, yeah,
they'll probably all die eating each other's fucking limbs. So I think 90% of them or more will die with a Bible in their mouth, you know. So I really think they will.
I don't think so. I think those motherfuckers are all packing heat. I think their sheds are filled with fucking shotguns and Bibles, and they're ready to go rolling in.
A shotgun, you can't eat a shotgun.
Yeah, but you can eat the things a shotgun gets you.
You can. You can be like a marauder, but it's hard to be a marauder when you don't have your Ford Explorer to go busting down on a...
Well, regardless,
regardless, I don't think that's going to happen as much anymore because I learned about this guy named Paul Stamets.
Yes.
This is one thing I want to talk to you about for a long time. There's this guy, Paul Stamets, who is a fungal researcher. He's a genius.
Yes.
Absolute genius. I saw this TED talk he gave, and he talks about how mycelium, the root, you know, the life network that is mushrooms, covers the entire globe, and how he thinks that fungus can save the earth.
How?
Because he's a lot of things he talks about in his talk, but basically one of the big things he talks about is how mushrooms and fungus can clean up. Can clean up toxicity faster and better than almost anything.
Yeah.
Like they showed this experiment where they had a bunch of berms of soil that had been infected with all sorts of like benzene and gas and all sorts of chemicals. They tried to treat them and clean them with different things. And he took one pile. One of these piles was injected with a bunch of different spores from different mushrooms. And they colonize it and they create these mycelial networks, and then they break down. They're able to break down these hydrocarbon chains, and then from there they basically create an environment. They're like decomposers of the lowest order, so they allow for things like grass to grow, and then for birds to come, and the birds defecate, and they're like an ecosystem starter. And how
cool.
He talks about that, and he has this whole genius program to sort of spread spores around the world by using cardboard boxes that have spores contained in them. So when you buy some shoes from Zappos, right?
Yeah.
It comes in this cardboard box that you can plant that has seeds, hardwood tree seeds that have been. He also found that any plants you have growing, there's like this mycelium network that basically feeds the roots. They're like, it's the pre-internet. Mycelium is the internet before the internet. Because the way, if you look at the way the connections, they branch out the same way, there's nodes and there's this massive coverage net, and how if it speeds nutrients and water to root systems. And he sells us like a patented fungal, patented spore. There's a bunch of different spores for different mushrooms you can inoculate your garden with, or inoculate seeds with them. And so he has these boxes that have hardwood tree seeds that are already inoculated with spores, so they grow 10 times as fast. And it's so high-minded of him, like his whole thing here. Like he's already rich from this all these fungal research, but he basically he thinks that that fungus, when used properly, can clean up any type of toxic spills, and it can
certainly can clean up toxic spills in your brain.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can tell this guy. You can tell that he's
blasted.
Oh, he's totally blasted.
You know where he learned about this shit? The fucking mushrooms told
him.
They
told him, exactly.
I guarantee
it. It's the internet, some pre-internet.
Those gnomes. That son of a bitch got lucky. Well, he was out of in Big Bear sitting under the forest and tripping his balls off.
This is what he says. He says that he thinks that mushrooms told us to invent the internet.
Yeah.
It's like...
I love him.
They asked for it.
Who is this man? What's his name?
Paul Stamets. Stamets.
Paul Stamets.
Yeah. It's amazing. You got to watch it. It's like... I've watched it like 10 times. It's just so mind-blowing. I bought a bunch of his products. I have my garden.
Wow.
My garden is filled with mushrooms now.
The internet's electronic mycelium.
Yeah.
Transmitting truth into the brains,
exactly.
Into the nodes.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking awesome.
It's pretty amazing.
Oh, I love that so much, man. It's so cool. Well, you know, that's
but
awesome.
But I think that can... I honestly think that what he's talking about makes sense in terms of something that can change the world, because a big problem we have with the Earth is... pollution and fuel, and fungus provides both of those things, because it allows fungus itself can be fuel, because it can create sugar, which can create anything, right, and it can also break down toxicity.
Yeah.
It's like this building block that somehow we've forgotten about. It also says that humans share a huge percentage of their DNA with fungus. It's something I don't know how it is exactly, but it's something. It's like a strange correlation that makes sense when he says it.
And the fungus is, you know, I think the fungus is probably as close as you can get to the crystallization of an ephemeral transcendent truth that is stretching through everything. And there, mm-hmm.
it's everywhere.
The first, as close as you can get to it in the material form. Maybe there's a few levels underneath it that we don't even know about yet, but
right.
it's as close as you can get to this network of information that's being mm-hmm. blasted through time and space and
right.
all pointing in the direction of this transcendent moment. When we create a black hole and goes heading out into whatever white hole lays
on
the
head of a giant mushroom, just blasting into the new universe.
Yes. I love it, man. I think you're right. I think first of all, I have to say I'm very excited to hear you have an optimistic idea of the future.
Well, it took fungus, man. Fungus is very powerful.
And this is part of what you know, a lot of these people are saying is that as technology advances,
right.
solutions are going to be found that we don't even know yet, and these solutions are going to start fixing
mm-hmm.
these massive awful things that are happening in the world.
But that's the beauty of this is I think a lot of that stuff. Technology finds the thing that was already there to begin with, which is how to use it.
Absolutely.
Because nature fixes itself. It always has.
But how bizarre is that? Psilocybin
mm-hmm.
could solve the problem of war.
Right.
And this mycelium could solve the problem of pollution.
Well, mycelium is like, it's in every...
It's the network.
It's basically like the roots of a mushroom.
Right.
But it's like the tree trunk of a mushroom is tree trunk and roots of a mushroom is the mycelial network.
So it's a giant. It's basically, you know, when people say the Earth is alive.
Yeah, it is.
It's mycelium. It's the mycelium.
Right. When you step on the ground, and when your foot comes off the ground, mycelium rushes in to fill the space with which your foot just occupied.
Damn.
Yeah.
Those, you know, what those mycelium look like.
Fucking
elves. Those are the fucking elves. It's just like
baby Duncan.
Yeah.
I also was reading this book called The Earth After Humans, or I think it's afterward, whatever, it's by Paul, someone, David Weissman, I can't remember his name, but he talks about how, I can't remember now, something about, oh yeah, how, you know how there's all these hydrocarbons, like all these man-made plastics and stuff, how they're polluting the world, and there's these big Pacific gyres where there's just billions of tons of plastic.
Yeah, dispersed plastic particulates.
Now they're even smaller. They're being eaten by smaller and smaller animals. So basically anything that comes from the sea has plastic in it, whether you can see it or not. But how he says it's, you know, it's doom and gloom, but he just said it's just a matter of time before there's microbes that can digest
plastic
tires. Yeah. And how the reason the planet's in such bad shape right now is evolution hasn't caught up with how fast technology has, but it will eventually.
Yeah.
And it, at some point in time, there will be microbes that will eat, because they have, because we've already seen microbes that have evolved to, I can't think what it is, but something that's man-made that's been created in the last 100 years, microbes have evolved to destroy it and break it down.
Wow.
So eventually,
beautiful.
Yeah, eventually microbes will destroy the billions of tires we have stacked up.
And hopefully
the
they'll also take a chomp out of these homophobic fucking loon loon bigots who are fucking corrupting their kids. Johnny,
Duncan?
I got to say goodbye because I got to go to therapy, brother.
Woo!
I love you. That was a great one. Anything, any shows coming up? Anything you want to announce? Don't you have your own podcast brewing
It's brewing. I got a couple ideas. They're brewing. It'll be brewing.
It'll be brewing.
You'll know about it.
You're on Feral Audio. That's where you're going to be.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And
it's brewing.
Where are you on Twitter?
Twitter, just my name, Johnny Pemberton.
Johnny Pemberton.
How about you?
On Twitter.
You're on Twitter.
I'm DuneCon Trousseau.
DuneCon.
On Twitter. All right, Johnny. Thank you.
Bye, Duncan.
God bless you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Now enjoy Good Old Desk by the genius Harry Nilsson. Good Old Desk by the brilliant, beautiful Harry Nilsson from his album All Time Greatest Hits, available on iTunes.
My old desk does an arabesque in the morning when I first arrive. It's a pleasure to see, it's waiting there for me to keep my hopes alive. Such a comfort to know it's got no place to go, it's always there. It's the one thing I've got, a huge success, my good old desk. My old desk never needs a rest, and I've never once heard it cry. I've never seen it tease, it's always there to please me from 9 to 5. Such a comfort to know it's dependable and slow, but it's always there. It's the one friend I've got, a giant of all times, my good old desk. Ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ah. Say a word, but it's perfectly alright with me. For when my heart's on the floor, I just open the drawer of my favorite guest. And what do I see but a picture of me working at my good old desk? Ooh, I